Alrighty, we're here on Wednesday, ESPN 1700. This is Brian Garrity on Big Daddy Radio Hour. We got Lady Gaga opening for us today in the background. She's out on tour doing all kinds of crazy things that we'll have to cover on one of these shows. But we're very excited. We have a great panel today. We have Sandy Rask here, who's going to tell us about her new ventures, which we're excited to hear about. You may remember her from Home Care Assistance, as well as a regular panelist on our show. And we have an attorney that I have great respect for and that I've known for a while. And finally, we have you on the show, which I'm excited about. So, Daniel Gammes, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And even more exciting, not more exciting than you guys, you're all equally exciting, we have Heather Shockey, and I hope I'm pronouncing her last name right. Heather, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
There she is. Okay. Am I pronouncing her last name right before we get
it? You are. It's Shockey. Thank Heather. You. I appreciate that because it does get butchered quite often.
I can imagine. I was looking at
it. Text message, too, doesn't it?
Right? Text message butchering would not be a good thing. So,
right.
Heather is an educator in the Los Angeles area, and she has started a movement that I just found to be completely fantastic, completely necessary, completely needed, and it's called Graham March, GRAMMARCH.org. And the interesting thing is I was on Facebook posting stuff about the radio, and somebody was saying, God, it makes me crazy when somebody's writing a post and they don't know the difference between your and you are. So I was like, yeah, I get it, blah, blah, blah. So then another person popped in and said, hey, there's this amazing gal in L.A. She started this movement, and here we are so blessed and so lucky to have Heather be part of our show today. So welcome, Heather.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Of course. So tell us about, and, you know, we all will have questions for you, so hopefully we don't, you know, over inundate you with things, but tell us about how Graham March started, and, you know, I think you taking a visible leadership role in this, I really want to commend you, because it's already hard enough being a teacher. You're already underpaid being a teacher, as far as I'm concerned, in the state. And for you to go out of your way to make some significant changes in, you know, today's society with the people that will be future leaders of our country really matters.
Right, and you know what, that brings me to my purpose as a teacher is to prepare kids for the real world. So therefore, when I'm receiving these formal essays and I'm reading through them and I'm seeing OMGs and I'm seeing U's and LOLs and little happy faces in a formal essay, it started to bother me. And as time went on, I started seeing it more and more and more, and I realized that my nagging wasn't helping. I realized my red pen marks weren't helping. So I had to come up with some kind of creative way to get these kids to really think about not only what they're writing, but the audience to whom they're writing to. And I think they are so – they use social media and they use texting so much in their daily lives – that sometimes that line between informal and formal language becomes blurred. So I started to see this come across my desk over and over and over again. So like I said, I had to come up with some kind of creative way to almost trick them into writing correctly.
Right.
And so Graham March was born.
So Graham March was born. Now, how long has it been in existence? Is this a year or 2 years?
Actually, this is our first year. This is my first year.
Yay. And so we're on board for the launch. I love it.
Yes, definitely. And the crazy thing is I just was actually going to do it in my class. And I started to talk about it with other people, and they were like, no, you're really onto something here. This is great. You need to make this a national thing. And, you know, I'm not in this for any notoriety or anything like that. I actually get really nervous about talking on the radio. I get nervous when people are looking at me, that kind of thing. So I was really apprehensive. But people, my friends and family have been extremely supportive, and they were just, you know, they really pushed me to make this bigger than just at my school. And not only have my friends and family been instrumental in making it how big it is today, but my administration and my district really jumped on board when I proposed it as well, and they have been extremely supportive in helping me to really make it bigger than just my classroom.
So I thought, so you're teaching in the L.A. area. Where do you teach?
I teach in Rosemead. I teach at Muscatel Middle School in Rosemead.
So you have...
It's about 10 miles east of Los Angeles.
Right. So you have, like, what, 7th and 8th graders?
Or, I do. I have 7th and 8th graders.
And then are they... Do they still, like, you know, I'm 48 now, so I'm going back to my days being in middle school. And I've got Sandy, who's on our panel. We actually went to middle school together, if you can believe that. But, yeah, so we've got a great history, and we had some really great teachers. And I think someone like you is going to make a huge imprint on these kids' lives and changing. I mean, these kids are going to have to be ready for college. They're going to have to be ready to write preparatory essays. I mean, you know, the LOLs.
And since you did bring up college, the crazy thing was when I was discussing this with other people, you know, I have friends who teach – you know, at reputable colleges, and they notice it in college essays. I spoke to another friend who is an admissions officer and has spoken to other admissions officers at UCs and Cal States, and they see this in entrance essays.
That's crazy.
So
I know, and they're even dropping the entrance essays now. I have to believe this is part of that.
What's that?
They're dropping the entrance essays now in SAT.
Interesting. So I find it that, so these kids, and you were saying like they would put a smiley face at the end of like the sentences that where they wanted you to know was their favorite thesis or part of the project. Is that correct?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. So, I mean, you see this happening. So when we were in school, they had like three levels. They had like 1, 3, and 5. Like 1 was the above average, 3 was the average, and then 5 were the kids that needed some help. What's the structure for the English classes now? Do they still segregate the kids that way?
Not purposefully. We don't track kids now.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So most of our classes are heterogeneous. So, you know, you may have a student who just came from another country, an EL student. You may have a student who is advanced. You may have, you know, the middle of the ground student.
Wow.
So, I mean, and that would be a whole nother show.
Right. I was going to say, that has to be a really challenging thing for you as a teacher to even be able to do lesson plans. That's a whole nother show. You're right.
Exactly. Yeah. So
we'll have you back. We'll have you back because our show is all about education, finance. You know, I do real estate as my day job, but you know, I even see real estate agents that will send over a contract, and in the body of their email, they will put like LOL exclamation point, have a great day, smiley face. And I was like, well, I didn't know that smiley faces and LOL were part of our dealings. But, I mean, you're talking about people in there. And I'm not discriminating, but I see it probably more from the younger agents. But this is something that's just carrying over and becoming accepted, and we've got to do something about it.
Exactly, and that's what I try to get across. And that first impression is everything.
It is.
You know, over time, you know, I am not opposed to using LOL or the shorthand texting when, you know, in a social setting. But when it's a formal essay in school or, like you said, you know, a real estate contract or a professional email, it's not appropriate.
Right, it's not. We have to go to break. I have a favor. Are you able to hang on for just a couple minutes so we can finish up? Because there's a couple more things I wanted to ask you. If not, we could have you back on. But we'd love to have you hang.
I can hold on.
All right, Heather. We have Heather Shockey with us from Grand March, everybody, along with a great panel today, including attorney Daniel Gámez, my beautiful host, Dr. Angela Moskowitz, and our co-panelist, Sandy Rask. We'll be right back. Yeah, my favorite. All right, folks, you're back. It's Wednesday, and it's ESPN 1700 AM. You're on Big Daddy Radio Hour here at 1 o'clock every Wednesday straight up. We're very lucky today to have the founder and organizer of GrahamMarch.org, Heather Shockey. She's with us. She stayed with us through the break, which I very much appreciate because I know you're taking time from your class to do this. So thank you, Heather.
You're welcome.
So, my darling, you were very, and what I thought was very sweet about you is, you know, I asked, send us a headshot. She's like, well, I am up in LA and most people probably have that, but you're just so unassuming and you're just really been very great to interact with. And I think you're doing something very, very powerful that should be applauded. So I want you to know our show is very much behind you, Heather.
I appreciate that. I really do.
And so how is it when you get an essay from these kids and they're putting in the LOLs and the, you know, are you ready, using R and U instead of spelling it out, or whatever other things you've seen, how do you react to those essays, just out of curiosity? What do you do with them?
Well, like I said, initially, you know, I felt like I was constantly nagging, and they would kind of laugh about it. But, you know, I had to let them know it. You know, it's not funny. We can laugh about it right now, but in the real world, someone's going to toss that. If you write that on a resume, or if you write that, again, on an entrance essay for a college, that's just going to be tossed to the side, and you're not going to be considered for things that are really important in your life. So I guess that's kind of why I did the little spoof on there's a spoof on GrahamMarch.org, and it's a quick little skit, and it just kind of shows me pulling my hair out while I'm seeing all these things. And the great thing about GrahamMarch is these kids definitely are noticing it now, and it has brought attention to what they are writing. And our tagline is pause, ponder, prose, and it's just getting people to stop and think and then write.
Right. I always tell my partner now, pause, ponder, prose. Before you open your mouth, do the following things for me. I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, but that's okay.
Well, and then you should pause again before you send.
Right.
I mean, social media has led to brevity. So, you know, everyone is in such a hurry, and I think this has led to, like, a severe decline and disconnect in how we even communicate with each other.
Really. I mean, it just really has. Instead of picking up the phone, it's people text, you know. It's like getting someone on the phone is like a chore, and I'm guilty of that myself, to be honest.
Well, I see kids after school. They're sitting next to each other, texting to each other.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, Angie's got three kids that are all very smart. She just joined us. And, you know, she's very much behind the whole thing. We want to get the word out for you wherever and however we can. Daniel Gámez, who's a great attorney here in San Diego, he's got a 9-year-old. You can impart that on those kids of yours. You got a 6 and a 2-year-old, right?
That's right.
So Heather's on to something, isn't she?
She is. She's got it.
We got to have Heather
Thank
be.
You.
Yeah, Heather's got to be your English teacher's kid. So do you teach like English 7 and English 8, or what do they call the classes these days? I don't even know.
I do. You can probably hear the bells in the background.
Yes.
I teach a 7th grade Read 180 class. I teach a 7th grade language arts class. I teach a 7th grade social studies class, and I teach a 7th, 8th grade combination ELD class.
Wow, that's got it. So, you know, our kudos is out to you. You've got your plate full. I want to know anything we can do. I think Graham March, although, you know, it was centered around March, I think it's got long-lasting effects and impacts. And it's very impactful, and I just want to support you in any way we can. I'd love to have you back on the radio show. I think what you're doing is tremendous, and I really think it's going to grow. I think the more we get the word out there, the more people tweet about it, the more people call attention. I mean, I found it on Facebook, and I was immediately attracted just to your website, to your whole being, your whole presence, the way you presented it. I love pause, ponder, prose. I think people should do that with speaking as well. Not even just writing. It's like pause, ponder. And you could leave the prose out and make it speak. But it's still, I think it's a great 3P kind of thing. Very clever of you, my dear.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Sandy, what do you think about the whole thing?
Oh, I think it's a really important topic. The writing styles of the youth are going to impact everything going forward, and you have to be able to speak and write in full sentences.
So,
oh, can you imagine when we were in school how you would just have gotten a big fat F? Big fat F if yes. you didn't do
exactly.
that.
I mean, exactly.
You know, you wouldn't be passing. I mean, do you give the kids that do that the opportunity to rewrite, or do you grade them for what it is, the way they put it together at this point? Now that you've started
there,
this movement.
Well, you know, with each writing assignment, there is a rubric that, you know, we strictly follow when we are grading. So obviously that's something that they will be marked down on.
Right.
But, you know, when it is, you know, when the essay is being graded on multiple things, that definitely grades it down, and it is frustrating to me. And that's what I started doing. I started just handing it back. I was not going to accept it with, you know, that form of writing, handing it back and, you know, turn it in. And it's going to be a lower grade because now it's late.
Right,
and it wasn't
right.
complete the first time.
So what do you think of that, Angie?
Well, I think she's doing the right thing. I'm, you know, I feel a little guilty saying much right now because I know I came into the show a little bit late. I had a crisis that delayed me at work. So I'm not sure, but I have actually many, many thoughts. My children are older, and I actually find that they're at are juniors in high school. I have triplets that are juniors.
Oh,
and
wow, okay.
I find it really, really interesting when they, I would say around their sophomore year, they started writing text messages beautifully and perfectly because they wanted to impress a person of the opposite gender. I have two boys and a girl, so it goes both ways. And they would catch me. They'd look at my texts and they go, who are you communicating with, an alien mom? Do you know how to write? And they called me out on it. So I know it's where and when. I don't know if it's an age difference, if it's a different parts of the country or different school districts. And that's why I'm feeling a little guilty kind of coming in a little late.
No,
I apologize.
But
I think, you know, I know that at least at the high school level, they are completely calling these kids out on it. They're holding them accountable. They're learning how to write well. I'm super proud of my kids. I feel like they're going into their senior year. We're checking out colleges, and I like how they're writing. But
okay.
I kind of feel like I missed where, you know, the problems that you're witnessing, which I have no doubt are vast and problematic, and they need it. You know, teachers like you. You know, creating those limits. And it's about where and when, right, you guys? I mean, we all kind of can loosen up
Absolutely.
Our verbiage in the right place.
And that is exactly the whole point, is to know when it's appropriate and when it's not.
Right.
You know, and knowing when it's informal language versus formal language.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, Heather, also, I want to give you credit. You're a very intelligent gal. You went to USC Wharton School of Communications, if I remember correctly.
Annenberg, yes, yeah.
You
nice.
Smart gal. But I got to tell you that even after I was on reading about her Grammart stuff, even I would go through my text messages, and Drew, who's here with us from my office, we did the same thing. I'm like, no LOLs, no this. So, I mean.
Well, that's so funny you say that because actually my assistant principal the other day showed me a text message between her and her 11-year-old daughter, and I forget if it was an LOL or something to that effect, and she's like, Mom, Grammart.
Yeah.
I love it.
Very cute.
I mean, on that. And
even silly things that I write on the board, like HW for homework, the whole month of March, they kept calling me out on it. Like,
sure.
Shucky, Grammart.
Shucky, yes, sir. I got to tell you, we appreciate you being on the show. We're a fan. You'll be on the BigDaddyRadio.com website. Yeah. I definitely hope that you can come back on maybe near when school's getting ready to be out and we can chat with you longer.
That'd be great. I would love to come down to San Diego, too.
Well,
oh,
you're
nice.
Open invitation, my darling. And I can tell you that you've absolutely made an impact on several people. And I have told several people about it, and everyone's starting to be like, and really, honestly, with the LOL thing, how many people really are laughing out loud when they put that? Generally, they're not. I mean, let's be real. So I even stopped putting
it.
Or when I would put it, I would put LOL dot, 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 and I really am laughing. So I just have lost the LOL part and said yes, or put ha, exclamation point. But Heather,
we had that discussion in class the other day, all the synonyms we could use for LOL, and kids are writing giggles and chuckling and things like that. So it's funny, too, because
they are
thinking.
I like chuckling. I'm taking that one.
Well, and I love the emoticons.
The emoticons also. Oh, my God. We're going to get to the point where they don't even use words. They're going to be the emoticons are going to take over. Crazy.
Hieroglyphics.
But no, we just think you're a sweetheart. Thank you for being on the show today, and we'll talk soon. Take care, Heather.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me,
of course.
I appreciate all your support.
Absolutely, and we'll continue. Thank you again.
Great. Take care.
Take care. All righty. So on the show today is Daniel Gámez, attorney at law. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing great.
I want to make sure that we catch up with you. You and I met, a year ago?
About a year ago.
200 plus pounds ago, maybe.
You look great.
Oh, thank you. I was not fishing, but I appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, it was a different time. And when we were introduced, I was like, I know him. And they were like, no, you're probably confusing. I said, no, I know the guy. I saw your picture. And what you do is basically help people avoid bankruptcy.
That's right. I run a debt settlement law practice.
So what in your opinion, why would somebody want a debt settle versus filing bankruptcy? I understand why, but what for our listeners?
Sure. Well, sometimes it's a personal choice. You know, I do talk to people that have the moral dilemma that they feel like they need to do something to pay back their debt rather than a bankruptcy. But for others, they have maybe an investment property they want to protect. And if they go through bankruptcy, they might lose that. So with a debt settlement, their property would be protected.
Correct. So you'll go through. I saw you've got some great testimonials on your website of some major things that you've done. I think people have to understand that creditors are willing to negotiate. And for some people, bankruptcy, like you said, is a choice. Some people don't have the money to debt settle. And we're not saying that you shouldn't file bankruptcy. But Dan can do things to help avoid that bankruptcy mark, because that has some far-reaching implications on you for a while, versus a debt settlement, which shows up as a settlement and depends on how the creditor is treated as a two-year ding or four-year in terms of getting other loans and reestablishing credit. So your practice basically is all focused on debt settlement. Talk to us about what you do.
That's right. I work with individuals that have credit card debt, medical bills, private student loans is something that have come into play recently. And I'm just stepping in and helping them by negotiating on their behalf to get it down to a level they can actually afford to pay.
Are student loans negotiable?
Private student loans are negotiable.
The private ones.
Not the federal.
Not anything with the – whether you got a federal student loan, you're stuck.
You're stuck. Just look at the programs they have available on the federal loans. And then for the private loans, they're just like any other unsecured debt.
Interesting. So, and a lot of the private loans have to do with parents that have co-signed as well, too.
That's right. Yes. The parent that finds out when they go to apply for the loan that their child has defaulted.
Oh, God. That has to be my bad mom and dad conversation. I don't know, Sandy. Your kids are going to be in college soon, and so are Angie. So think it out. Okay, folks, we have to take a break, but we will be back with Daniel Gámez. It's Gámez.
That's close
attorney.
Enough.
No, pronounce it right.
Gámez.
Gámez. Daniel Gámez, attorney at law. We love him. Debt consolidator, attorney extraordinaire. And Sandy Rask, who has now gone out to do her own thing with home care assistance. So stay tuned, folks. We've got some exciting stuff still to come. Yeah, baby, can't you see? It's killing me. You're back on Big Daddy Radio here every Wednesday on ESPN 1700 AM. You can also listen live by going to sandiego1700.com. We've got a great panel. We've got Daniel Gámez, attorney at law. He's the best. And I want people to get in touch with Daniel and get him exposure, because he really is an all-around good guy. We have Sandy Rask, who I want you to share with us your new venture that you're going on to. You're just full of all kinds of skills, and I've known you forever, and I have a great deal of respect for you, and we appreciate you coming on the show to have like a VU type panel. So thank you for being here.
Absolutely. I wouldn't have it any other way. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And we have the beautiful Angela Moskowitz.
Oh, bless you.
Therapist extraordinaire.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I got to tell you, going from one crisis to another crisis and then to the radio show, sometimes.
It's okay. Some days
live radio is rough. But I did just take these vitamins that are a special order, and to do that whole nutrient panel on you, like we're talking about gluten-free.
Yeah.
Whoa. I was so ill when I was talking to Heather.
Thing.
I felt bad. No, I was like, I love this gal.
I won't tell.
I was just like, I do not want to lurch. Yeah. I was just like, please let this interview go. And you, Sandy, being the sweetheart that she is, whatever this is, totally just saved me. It just like pushed it all back down. It's probably
thanks for sharing, honey.
Yeah, well, we're friends. We're friends here. We're friends here.
We have another show in the making, I'm sure, because that bar is all gluten free.
It is
very healthy. Well,
Brian, LOL. Sorry.
I know.
TMI.
TMI. Right. What other ones do we have, Daniel Gámez? Come on. I don't see you using those.
They're kind of vulgar, so I'll stay.
Mr. Gámez. So where is your office located?
I'm located over in UTC.
You're in the UTC area. Busy guy. You will deal with, like you said, all kinds of different debts. But for someone to do a debt settlement, a question is, do they have to have cash on hand, or can you get a settlement and make payments over time? Or is that generally not the case if you're trying to get the most optimal settlement?
They work both ways. And obviously the best settlements are going to come when you have the lump sum available. But most of my clients don't have that. So what we do with them is I get them set up on like a savings plan where we're putting money away monthly so we can put an amount down on a settlement and then make the rest of the payments over a term. I just settled a debt last week where we're getting payment over 48 months.
Wow. So give us an example of some debts that you've settled. I mean, just a few that like.
Sure. Recently, USAA, we settled a $39,000 account for $4,000.
And they're a nightmare, folks.
Oh my!
They're a nightmare. From doing short sales back in the day, I would have them as a second lien holder many times, and they were the most mean, nasty, unforgiving people.
How do you really feel, Brian?
Just exactly like that. Seriously. And if we were on satellite radio, I'd have a few other things I'd like to say. But we're on terrestrial radio, so I'll hold back so that our friend in the boardroom doesn't have to beat me. But they're mean.
They are mean, but we had a pretty good hardship on this guy and medical hardship, and it didn't take much at all. Now I'm kind of second-guessing. Maybe I should have gone for lower than we did, but
I think
he was ecstatic.
You did good at four. I had one with them, and the gal literally called me, and she said, I don't care if your client is in the hospital for 6 weeks or 6 months. We want our full bill. And I'm like, lady, you're not getting your full bill. She'll file bankruptcy on you.
Yeah.
I don't care. I ended up settling it for them. I had to turn mean and nasty, which I hate doing, but I will if I need to. And so, you know, short sale days are kind of a thing of the past. Not all the way. If you're still out there suffering, call 619-399-3300 so we can get you taken care of. But, Daniel, what you're doing is a great thing for people because people lose sleep at night over debt.
It really is. It's always a big relief. I can actually see the relief in their face when they retain.
You got it. Just getting that off their plate. Like,
absolutely.
These people can no longer call me. They have to call you.
That's right.
I mean, that's in and of itself a big deal.
Sure. Yeah. That's huge. And I always tell my clients, you know, you're taking your problems and you're dumping on my lap.
Right.
And then you go and live your life and let me take care of this for you.
But that's what I love about you. Because when we first met and we first connected, and Angie's the same way, and Sandy's the same way, and Drew's the same way, we're very much all about the customer, the consumer, and
right.
helping that person alleviate whatever's going on with them. Angie's a great therapist. Sandy does all kinds of great things, which she's going to share with us now. So talk to us about your new leap into life, my dear.
Oh, my gosh. Brian, thank you.
Of course.
What I'm actually doing now is I'm going to work with physicians all over and help them turn their practice into what we call today concierge medicine. So it's really taking medicine back to the patient, saying, you know, do you want longer appointments? Do you want to have easier access with your doctor? Do you want to be able to talk to your doctor on the cell phone versus having to go into an office 6 weeks from now? So it's a very exciting time because I think this is it's great for doctors and it's great for patients as well.
Oh yeah, so concierge medicine.
Concierge medicine, yes.
So and what how, now? What is your role in
my role really is to come into the practice, help them brand what the new practice will look like, and then talk to their patients about staying with this doctor and what that really means for them.
Yeah, we got to get you over to Dr. Farnese here. He's been on the show. He is my hormone guy, and
fantastic.
He's amazing doctor, just very intelligent, knows what he's doing, but that's right up his alley. So make sure that we make that connection.
I will. And the frustration has been there for many, many years in the medical field for both patients and doctors. I think it's hitting a new high with some of the Obamacare and Covered California requirements. So it's a good time to be in this side of medicine. And it's just you talk about relief and seeing happiness, Daniel. It's a relief for the doctor to be able to do good care. And it's a relief for clients and patients to know that their doctor is there for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I've been very blessed with the doctors we've had, but it's because I pushed. Like Dr. Gilman, who's through Sharp, if you guys are a Sharp patient, you'd be making a big mistake by not choosing Frank Gilman. He'll spend as much time as need be to make sure that you're on track and okay. Dr. Boyro, my surgeon, he's amazing. We'll be having him back on the show. He's got a lot of things to share with us. There's some new updates that are going on. But Angie, from a therapist standpoint, mm-hmm. does that concierge medicine fit into that same model?
Yes.
You're already like that, right?
I kind of practice that way.
Right.
And I have been for years, but I'm really an anomaly. And I'm not saying I'm all that.
But you are.
I'm just saying that's how I practice. And it started with an influence that came to me when I was a postdoctoral intern just a couple years ago. I'm joking. A long time ago. I used to work at an adolescent hospital residential treatment center. We used to go for walks with our patients, or we'd kind of just, we'd stroll outdoors. So I kind of integrated that into my private practice, and as I've grown I've been doing this for about 28 years, believe it or not. And over the years,
you can't be that old.
I bless
you. You were a child when you started.
Oh, bless you. Yes. Yeah, no. Right. Yeah, no. 54, really soon, in a couple months.
The show really puts the numbers on the table, doesn't it? Unbelievable.
But what I find is early in my practicing, and I think this is typical for any of us who have been in any field for a while, early on when you're green, I was very conservative. Far more conservative. And then the older I got, the more confident, the more settled in the field, the more I kind of loosened up and I allowed myself to take liberties that I hadn't earlier. So I do. I will take a stroll with a patient. I actually got a new patient referral recently, and I'm going to be going to her house. I'm going to be doing in-home service because she's agoraphobic. Mm-hmm. So if you can't get out of the house to get to your therapist.
How
do you get better? So, I'm certainly one of those therapists who is willing to do that kind of therapy, and I'm happy. It feels right. It feels like the right thing.
No, it's amazing. I think especially somebody that's working through difficult issues. I mean, mm-hmm. agoraphobic. Can you imagine not being afraid to leave your house? That to me is just like. Ugh.
Well, there's a lot. People could be disabled, blind. There's all kinds of reasons why people can't. Or, some high priority executive who's massively stressed, they can't get out of the office. Yeah. There's a wide range of reasons. So I'm actually even in the process of really, I have to be careful. I'm in the early stages of this, but I'm probably going to develop an online psychotherapy website so that I can reach people in, also like rural areas or just there's a lot of populations that aren't getting served with the work I do.
Yeah. Be like that Lisa Kudrow show, only not.
Oh my gosh. My friend told me about that recently. My friend from New York City came in. He goes, you got to see this. It's hysterical.
It's hilarious. She's really well. She's well spoken, and she's a smart gal. She writes a lot of that stuff.
Tell our listeners what, because I didn't know about it. Tell them what you're talking about.
There's a show on HBO that I think it's called, there's a WebMD with Lisa Kudrow. Yeah.
Or online therapy or something.
Online therapy, and she treats the patients online, but she's very eclectic and eccentric, and it's a very funny show. Have you ever seen it, Daniel?
My disclaimer is I do not do that.
No. It is a parody.
It is hilarious.
It is a parody. But it's very funny. So this concierge medical service is going to take off for you.
I think so too. And again, I just think that there's such value for everyone that that the patients are seeing it, that you're going to take a stroll with them. Mm-hmm. You will get a relationship with them that is different than the doctor who only sees them for 10 minutes in an office.
And how can you even diagnose somebody in 10 minutes?
Properly
diagnose.
That's really it. So, you need a team player.
We'll be back with our great panel today. We have Daniel Gammez, attorney at law. We have Sandy Rask, medical concierge, and of course, the beautiful Angela Moskowitz, with Jordan Ellis from my office, who's over there being very quiet. It's very unusual. Be right back, folks, for our last segment. All right, we're back for the last segment here this week on ESPN 1700 on your Big Daddy Radio Hour. We love our listeners. Our listeners are such great people. Thank you for the emails, and it's just growing leaps and bounds. It's the last 2 weeks. It's taken me 2 days to answer your emails, and it's not by any other reason than the sheer number. So text us.
Keep them coming.
Keep them coming, and let us know what you like, and if you have ideas for stuff, please do. 619-399-3300. I've had some listeners call into the office. Yes, I do real estate full time. I will be on Channel 6 tomorrow in the morning on San Diego Living, and we will be talking about how to take a stale listing. You never have a stale listing with me. But for the people that do have a stale listing, how to fix that listing. That was arrogant, wasn't it? But it's true.
But in such a good way.
But it's true. It happens. We have Daniel Gammes, attorney at law, who I am very happy is here today, and I want you to be back on the panel.
I'd love to.
And I think you've opened up an opportunity for people to understand there's more to life than bankruptcy. You know, especially for those clients that only have like one or two accounts. Like, I'll have people that maybe have short sold, and they're thinking like, oh, I should file bankruptcy. But yet, they only have like $5,000 in creditor accounts.
Are you really going to go bankrupt for $20,000?
Right. It doesn't make sense. So, and that's what Daniel would be here to guide you through. And I mean, it could make such a permanent, long lasting effect on you personally. Yeah. I really highly recommend, if you're in that situation, Daniel's the only one in town that I would stand behind because he's reputable. He's not like all these rip-off credit repair people. Right. If you see that, run the other way. There are some that are reputable, I suppose. But I would say that the majority of credit repair is honestly done by the individual themselves or by somebody. If you know, you don't do credit repair, do you?
Not at all.
Yeah, okay. So you are at the same philosophy as I have about it?
For the most part, yes.
I know. You want to be PC. That's okay. I'm not But anyways, Daniel Gammes, tell us how our listeners can reach you. They want a consultation. Plug yourself, my friend.
Sure. First, it's a free consultation. I always accept phone calls at 858-217-5051, or you can go to my website, which is gammeslawfirm.com. That's GAMEZlawfirm.com. You can fill out a contact us page, and I'll get back to you.
So, and we will have him on BigDaddyRadio.com with the replay. We'll have your profile. We'll talk about it, plus how they can reach you. So if somebody contacts me, I just forward the info over.
Perfect.
We had a lot of people that went David Scheid's music, and I just forwarded all that over to him. I think we probably had about 30 people, or a lot of people, because they could have contacted him directly too. And I had about 100 emails about David himself and how excellent he was. You got to figure, for someone to take the time to do that is pretty outstanding. That was a lot. I was like, whoa, what am I missing here? But that guy is one talent.
You know what? First of all, he's talented. But there's a lot of good talent out there. I think part of what separates him, he's got a unique tone. That's always very special. But because I've been in the music industry, what separates him is he's just humble.
Very.
And kind and talented. I mean, he's just got the full package. And that's, I got to tell you, it's a rarity in this industry. There's a lot of narcissism in the music industry.
Oh, yeah.
And I just adore him for that. He's really amazing.
And, you know, and he's the kind of guy that will send you a message and tell you he loves you. I mean, he's comfortable enough with himself that he's not worried about some freaky thing because you're sending, you know, an I love you message to somebody. It's like, why wouldn't you love somebody? Why can't you tell somebody you love them? Why does there have to be all that weird other nonsense surrounding it? So David Scheid, in my book, is a class act, 100%. And Sandy, whatever you gave me here is fabulous, so we should promote it. What is it? It's called
Kind bar.
Well, it was very kind of my
stomach. Oh, they are good. I love those.
I'm a huge believer in whole food, really good quality, you know, no wacky diets. And Kind really supports that. It's all whole nuts and dried fruits, and, you know, it has no gluten in it, no additives, no preservatives. It's just good food.
Where do you find this? Like Whole Foods or?
I got that particular one at Fresh and Easy, but they have them at Whole Foods, Mother's Market. They have them a lot of different places.
Be a good addition into my rotation, so thank you. Because I was really having a rough half hour at when things were starting. So you've gone gluten-free.
I have gone gluten-free, yes, I have. And best decision of my life.
And how long has it been now?
It's been about a month and a half, so it's not been hugely long. But I found a family connection. My siblings, it turns out, are gluten intolerant. And so I had reason to suspect genetically that I might be. And as soon as I took gluten out, a lot of my personal health issues just cleared right up.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
I told you I had that test with Dr. Farnese. And Angela, we had shared this, but every page on me was like, Red. I think the only thing my body tolerated was watermelon and olives. It's quite a weird
diet.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think, but he's like, you know, some of them are in the yellow, and he's like, but you've got one angry tummy, and it's the gluten, and I've not made the move all the way to be gluten-free. I know Angela is very versed in it.
Yeah.
Her son, Nicholas, who was very ill, did a lot of research and kind of created
created his
own diet.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy had a cyst in his brain and really, I mean, has done some amazing things. So
horrible
your family
allergies.
Really eats gluten-free.
Oh, we all benefited from Nicholas's trauma. But I told Nick he's going to live to 150.
Right?
The dude's. I mean he's dairy-free. He's dairy-free. He's gluten-free. And I'm mostly that. I'm definitely dairy-free. I'll admit I cheat a tiny bit with the gluten occasionally, but I'm mostly, and the rest of my family less than me. So I'd say Nick's the best, I'm second, and everyone's following. But nonetheless, we've all transformed our eating.
Interesting.
And it's had a good kind of a domino effect on the family.
What about the Gamez family? You guys have some good Mexican food.
We're definitely not gluten free. No, my mom's in town now, so I know we're going to be getting some.
You're going to be having some throwdown dinners. That's going to be good.
Cheese enchiladas are coming.
Are you kidding?
Well,
back in the day, I could knock back a pan. Are you
kidding? Hey, hang on. Those can be good and gluten free.
Not authentic, though.
I don't think my mom knows how to cook it.
No. We want the old school kind of cheese. But the gluten thing, that's like a whole other show.
I totally agree.
I mean, it's something that a lot of people are pushing for. They're seeing it having these huge health benefits for people. Yeah. And it's not necessarily about dieting.
Correct.
No.
Right?
No.
So, I mean, that's where I think there's some confusion. I think people think, I'm on a gluten-free diet. That doesn't mean you're dieting.
It's about food choices and food preparation.
Yeah.
And you'd be amazed. You can still have a yummy pie, but it's made with coconut flour. It's made with, I mean, there's other ways of preparing things, and they're delicious. There's this illusion that it's not going to taste good. Yeah. I have discovered the most amazing recipes.
Yeah, well, Sandy is like a chef when it comes to that stuff. She posts the craziest recipes. They look great. They really do.
Your trail
mix is a hit, as you know. You're in trouble today.
I got a little nibble of it, and it was really good.
Oh, my gosh.
You'll be down anyway.
Trail mix sounds boring, but I was here the last time, and it's the best trail mix I've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
It's delicious.
Wes is like, please tell Sandy to bring. I'm like, no. She's not bringing trail mix this time. We will ask her another time. We need to take her to dinner first.
Okay? Oh, my gosh.
But it's very giving of you to have done that. That last one you brought was gone so fast. And like, where did it go? It was weird because it was in a little Tupperware container and it was on the kitchen shelf. And I walked by, maybe we got home at 4:30 or 5. Then I walked by again like at 10 o'clock and I was like, wow.
We have a mouse in the cabinet who's eating very well.
I think maybe, I don't know. Maybe Maddie and Finley got there.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, no. So, hey, how close are we to being done? Are we, do we have time to talk about The Voice?
We can.
Okay, who's watching it?
I watched just a little bit last night.
Did you see Sassandra?
Yeah, that's why I watched a little bit last night.
She's so good. And she makes it's very hopeful. I mean, I think she's actually even a grandmother. She's at least a mother.
No,
she's
I'm
a grandmother.
Sure she's a grandmother.
And it makes me feel more hopeful.
She's I don't, amazing. You'll like this. She was for years a background singer to Celine Dion.
Oh, interesting.
So you know the woman can sing.
Well, she has got pipes, but she's got passion too. Mm-hmm.
Is she on Shakira's team?
She's on Blake's team.
Oh my God!
And it was a battle. There was a battle between her and this other R&B kind of singer.
And he's wonderful.
And he's really good too. But you just can't. I mean, this woman.
No one wants to be up against her.
Yeah, she's unmatched.
I mean, is she going to be the winner?
Should be. She certainly should.
You never know, right?
And if she doesn't win, then she better get a record deal.
Yeah, she's
going to
be fine.
But that's what happens.
She'll be like the Adam Lambert of that, you know.
Right.
That's what happens a lot of these. Now, do you watch any of those shows, Daniel Gammis?
No, my guilty pleasure is more the Survivor kind of.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's been a while. So Survivor's still on, though.
Still on.
I mean, Mark Burnett's got a machine with his reality shows. The Apprentice, Survivor. He's done a lot. Shark Tank.
How many cycles now does Survivor have?
Gosh, I think there's two a year.
Two
and I think
year,
they've done
yeah.
20 over 20 seasons.
And I need the Shark Tank. I don't know if you guys ever watch that, but I love it. Where the entrepreneurs go in and they pitch, and you're pitching against some tough cookies, man. But anyway, so Sandy, I'm glad that you have been participating on the panel. We have special guests in LA that are listening. I want to wave to you. I'm from San Diego. Thank you for being back with us, and thank you for watching our tweets. The Real Housewives of Orange County will be premiering in a couple weeks on Monday. Will have Tamara and Eddie on the show. So, yes, I'm getting excited. The Real Housewives of New York already started, and boy, that's a whole different mess in and of itself. That Aviva, she's not right.
She's a mess. She's a mess.
Yeah, I mean, you watch it. See, Daniel, you know when you come on, you never know what you're going to get hit with.
I'll admit to the Real Housewives of Orange County.
There you go. All right. So we'll have you come back. There you go.
Outsider here.
So Tamara and Eddie, they've been on the show, and they'll be calling back in. I've had contact with them. Coming up at 2 o'clock hour is the Bro Show with those great guys, Art Valenzuela, and we've got Anthony LeCoco. They always put a great show on for you guys. Thank you all for listening. We love you guys, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Adios.
Good night.